Like to dedicate the Shir Le'ili Nishmas, my dear Mechutin, Reb Gershon, Reb Yaakov Sostin, Olav Shalom, who passed away this past Erev Shabbos. Reb Gershon was an OU and a good member, an activist who supported local Miami Mosdos, as well as many Mosdos Chashuvos throughout the world. Yehi Zichroi Baruch. Our Shir discusses the sin, the aver of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who were loin nagu kavod zeh lazeh. They did not honor one another. Mr. Sostin, Olav Shalom, was the epitome of giving honor and respect to one's fellow men. I'd like to begin this year with the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us we're all aware that during the Sfira there are different customs, but everyone is in a state of avelus. We're mourning over the loss of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And there's different customs. When do you keep the Minhagim of Svira, which involve not shaving and not listening to music? Some do it right from the beginning of the Svira. Some do it starting Rosh Chodesh. There's various different customs. But it's all revolves around the following Gemara. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis that Amru, they said, Shnayim Osir Elef Zugim Talmidim Hoyulo Rabbi Akiva Migeves Ad Antiparis. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students of Talmidim from the city of Geves until Antiparis. These were two cities in Eretz Yisrael. The Kulan Mesu Beperik Echad, and all of them died in one part of the year. What's the reason that they were nifter? They passed away. Mipnei Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid Zelazed. They did not give honor one to another. The Hoya Ha'olam Shaming. The entire world was desolate. What it means desolate, it means that there was no Torah. And it could have been at that critical juncture in Jewish history, it would have been possible that Torah would have stopped because the whole Torah was based on these 24,000 students and now they were dead. Ad Shibor Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came, Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shibadarim, to the rabbis who lived in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Vishonu Lahem, and he taught them the Torah. And who were these five rabbis? Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yossi, Rab Shimon, Rab Lozer ben Shamua. The Haim Hamidu Torah Osasha. And they were the ones, these five were the ones who reestablished the Torah at that time. It had it not been for these five Rabbonim, and that the fact that Rabbi Akiva was able to teach them the Torah, Chas v'Shalom, God forbid, Torah would have stopped at that. There would have been no one to keep the Torah going. And the Gemara continues, Tana, we learned, Kula Mesumi Pesach V'Atzeres. They all died in the time of the year between Pesach and Shavuos. Amar Reb Chama Bar Abba, V'itema Reb Chiya Bar Avin, Kula Mesu Misa Ra. All of them died a very horrible death. Mayhi, what is it? Amar Reb Nachman Askara, that's diphtheria. They choked to death. So these 24,000 great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were nifter. The Gemara says that the reason is because Loi Noagu Kavod Zelazed. They didn't give honor one to another. They learned the Torah, but the Midos Tovos, the proper character traits that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have, they were deficient in it. They insulted each other. They, while they were arguing and learning, they became personal. They attacked each other. They didn't give the proper respect one to another. And I'm reading now from the Sefer Sum Derech from Rab Simcha Zissel Brody Zitzel. He was the Chevroner Rosh Yeshiva. So he points out that it's not only the tragedy, the reason we're Avelim, that we're in mourning, all of the Jewish people. We took a break yesterday. It was Lag BaOmer when the 24,000 Talmidim stopped dying. It was the Hilula of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai in Meron, where it's celebrated every year, so that day is a day of joy. But overall, the time of Sfira is a time of mourning, not only because physically 24,000 great Talmidim passed away, But because there was a spiritual holocaust, as we have just learned, the Torah was holding at a point where it could have been destroyed entirely were it not for those five great Rabbonim in the south that Rabbi Akiva was able to give over the Mesoras HaTorah. So Rabbi Simcha Zissel Brody points out that the Gemara tells us that all of these Rabbonim, they were the ones who perpetuated the Torah. Each one took a different part of the Torah. The Gemara says, Stam Masnisin Rab Meir. If you have an opinion in a Mishnah, and it doesn't say who is the rabbi who says it, that's called Stam. Stam Mishnah, it's anonymous. You know who that refers to? That's Rab Meir. He was one of those five Talmidim. Stam Tosefta is Rab Nechemia, Stam Safra, Rab Yehuda, Stam Sifri, Rab Shimon, Vekulu, Aliba de Rab Akiva. The master, the giant, where all these other rabbis got their Torah from was Rabbi Akiva. From Rabbi Akiva, they were already able to do other parts of the Torah, the Mishnah, the Safra, the Tosefta, the Sifri, but it all, the source of it all was Rabbi Akiva. From what they learned from Rabbi Akiva, that's what they taught us. But it all stemmed from Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Simcha Zissel Brody points out an unbelievable thing. He says, all the Torah that we have today, all the Gemara and all the yeshivas, the Lakewood and here and Mir and Eretzrol, and thousands of people who are learning Torah, Kain Yirbu, they are all learning the Torah from five Rabbanim. Imagine if the 24,000 Rabbanim, their Torah would have kept going. Apparently, we have almost nothing, or maybe nothing, of their Torah. And they certainly produced a lot of Torah. But the world, their Torah got lost. And that's when it says the world was desolate. It doesn't just mean that they lost 24,000 people, which itself is a terrible tragedy. But what compounds the tragedy is that they lost the spiritual part of the 24,000 rabbis. And if we are functioning based on five rabbis, imagine how much Torah we would be learning and developing if we would have the Torah of those 24,000, which got lost. We don't have we have no memory, we have no remnant of their Torah. So this compounds the great tragedy. Now, Rav Simcha Zissel Brody points out, and this is found in Parshas Emor, in his Sefer, in Maimer Tess, and it's called Kavod HaTorah. This is on the Sefer Vayikra, and he points out some very fascinating things. First, he brings a Me'iri. The Me'iri says, there's a pasuk which tells us, Eis lasis l'Hashem, heferu sarasecha. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The simple meaning of this pasuk is that there are times where in order to save the Torah, you have to break the Torah. What does that mean? The most famous example of this is when Rebbe wrote down the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Torah Sheba'al Peh, oral Torah. Oral Torah is not supposed to be written. Written Torah is not supposed to be learned orally. It's supposed to be learned in the Chumash. And oral Torah, the Mishnah and the Gemara, is supposed to be learned orally and not written down. But Rebbe saw that in his generation, people were beginning to forget the Torah. It used to be that they had terrific memories. They practiced learning things by heart. They were able to keep the Torah going. Rebbe saw that if I don't do something about this, we're going to lose the whole Torah. So he said, and only a great gadol could do this, because this is not a license for anyone to say, well, I think in order to protect the Torah, I'll destroy this part of the Torah. You have to be someone like Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But he understood that if we're not going to write the Torah down, we're going to lose the whole Torah. Yes, of course, it's better to learn Torah Baal Peh. But if you can't, it's at the expense of losing it entirely. So that's what the pasuk means. Eis lasis l'Hashem. There's a time to do for Hashem where heferu sarasecha. Sometimes you have to go against what the Torah itself tells you in order to protect the Torah. In order to save someone's life, you have to amputate a leg, let's say. So you're taking away something, but that's saving the person's life. The same thing over here. But the Me'iri has a whole different understanding of this pasuk. The Me'iri says it means the following. There are times where a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Eis lasos Lashem. It's a time to do a mitzvah for Hashem. And what do people do? They, at that moment where they have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, they break the Torah. They make the Torah missing. What does that mean? Many of us do mitzvahs, which is called mitzvahs anashim elumada. Mitzvah anashim elumada means we do mitzvahs by rote. We forget why we're doing the mitzvah. We can daven a whole Shmona Esrei, and we didn't even think of the meaning of one word. Our mouths know how to say it, and they rattle it off. Meanwhile, we're thinking about our upcoming vacation, or a dress that we have to return to a store, or we're not totally not thinking about davening, like the person who finished Shmona Esrei, and the Rav came over to him and gave him Shalom Aleichem. So he said, why are you giving me Shalom Aleichem? I haven't been anywhere in the last year. So Shalom Aleichem, I'm assuming in your Shmona Esrei you traveled all over the world, so I'm giving you a Shalom Aleichem. Unfortunately, that is the state of our tefillah and our mitzvahs. We do it without understanding, without thought. We do it out of hergel, repetition, and without any meaning. So that's what the Meiri says, that's what the Pasuk's saying. Often, Eis lasos Lashem, you have an opportunity to do something for Hashem, and instead of grabbing that opportunity and doing the mitzvah, you make the mitzvah missing. The whole soul of the mitzvah is gone. You're going through the motions, but the whole essence of the mitzvah has no effect on you whatsoever, because you're not thinking what you're doing. You're not going into understanding what you're doing. So he points out by Sfiras HaOmer, he says, Baruch Hashem, our generation is very careful. We don't take haircuts during that time. We don't listen to music, which is excellent. But in reality, all those things are to remind us what our thinking should be during that time. And why are we doing it? Why are we in mourning? We're in mourning because of the loss of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because they didn't give respect properly one to another. So I saw, for example, I was in a store. I see the daughter wanted to buy flowers for Shabbos. The mother says, it's Svira, we don't buy flowers for Shabbos. I never heard of such a minhag. Maybe there is such a custom. But it's very fine. I don't know if there's a proper custom or not. But let's say it is a proper custom. That's very nice not to buy flowers. But if at the next minute you can embarrass somebody about and not give them the right respect, so you're not buying flowers, which is nice. But it's the main part of the Sfira is that you should treat other people with respect and with honor, and not embarrass people and be sensitive to other people. So if you're not buying flowers but you're not sensitive, you missed the boat. You're heferus ersecha. You're missing the opportunity. That's what the Miri says. So Simchas Zisel Brody explains to us that without the proper respect one for another, you know why we lost not only the Talmidim, but we lost their entire Torah. That's because they honoring our fellow man is a condition in receiving the Torah. If a person doesn't honor his fellow man, then he can't be a transmitter of Torah. That's why their Torah was lost. Perhaps, this is my own thought, we're told that a person, we know that a person should learn Torah for altruistically, which means because Hashem commanded us to learn Torah. But and it says that it's very hard to get to that level. So you should start with what's called loy lishma. Let's say a child. You can't go over to a child and say, he's in the first grade, second grade, third grade. Learn Torah because Hashem commanded you. He's not holding by that. You can tell him, learn Torah, and if you do well on your test, I'll get you a toy, and then I'll get you a bike, and I'll get you this. Loy lishma. He's doing it because I remember I heard Rav Shalom Shradron once said that he used to get up early in the morning because his mother would make for him cookies and warm milk early in the morning. So that was spurred him on to get up early in the morning at the crack of dawn to go learn. He wasn't getting up for the learning. He was getting up for the cookies and the warm milk. That was the loy lishma. Mitoich shel loy lishma, bo lishma. If you start off doing a mitzvah not for the right reason, eventually you'll do it for the right reason. So the Tosfos asks a question that it says in one place in the Gemara that a person who learns Torah lo lishma, not for the right reason, it's better that he was never born. It gives a very, he shouldn't have even been born. So here you're telling me, and in fact it says, lo olam yasik adam b'torah v'mitzvah shaloy lishma, shemitoch shaloy lishma bo lishma. Lo olam means, the Michtav Melior of Eliyahu Dessler tells us, La'ola means that's the correct way to do it. A person can't jump up to Lishma to do it altruistically. You have to begin La'ola. Always you should start with Lo Lishma, because that's the way to step in the ladder that you'll get to Lishma. But here it says that it's better you weren't created. How do we rectify these two chazal? So Tosfos answers, it depends. If you want to learn because you want to become a rabbi, you want to get smicha, that's a lo lishma. You're not learning it just because God, Hashem said, learn Torah. You have something, a benefit for you. You want to get, people should give you honor, you want to get the rabbi title. So that's a lo lishma, which you could strive for because eventually you'll get to lishma. But if your lo lishma is, you want to learn Torah because you want to slug up your friend. You want to be better, more proficient in learning than your friend so that you can show him up and show that you're superior to him in learning more than him. That's already a character flaw. That's a flaw in a person's character. That's better that a person wasn't even created. So same thing over here. We see that here apparently the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva had a character flaw. They were not knowing covered one to another. So I'm assuming that their learning was not lishma. Their learning was to best their friend, and that's why they got personal and they didn't speak correctly with them, and therefore they unfortunately came to this tragic end. Now, Reb Simcha Zissel Brody wants to say that the reason they got punished so severely is because their Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, represented the very opposite of what they did. In other words, had they had any other Rebbe except Rabbi Akiva, maybe it wouldn't have been considered such a defect. But their Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva, and he epitomized having covered one for another and having respect and good midos with one another. And they didn't accept what their Rebbe represented. That made it a greater aveira than normal. Now, where do we see that Rabbi Akiva had this beautiful character in him? So he brings two sources to show this. The first source, we know that Rabbi Akiva, until he was 40 years old, he never learned Torah. So his wife, Rachel, who was the daughter of Kalba Savua, one of the richest men in Klal Yisrael, so his daughter saw this ignoramus. He was an Amo Aretz, and yet she saw in him certain beautiful character traits. The Gemara says she saw that he was Mali Utsni. He was a Tsanua. He was a person with Tsnius. He didn't show off to people. And he was also Mali. He had, his midos were very fine. So there's a Gemara which doesn't seem to say that, certainly. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Akiva said, when I was an Amo Aretz, here's the quote, Mi yiten li Talmud Chacham, if I would get my hands on a Talmud Chacham, va'anashchenu k'chamor, I would bite his head off like a donkey bites something off. That doesn't sound like you're a very nice fellow. So he brings a pshat here from Tosfos, and Tosfos says that really Rabbi Akiva at that time, Rabbeinu Tam, who was one of the Bali Tosfos, says, Shomer mitzvah hoya. He kept mitzvos, even at this time before he started learning. We know he went away for 24 years, and his father-in-law, who had a son-in-law, an Amoretz, An ignoramus was embarrassed, the one who his daughter took. He didn't see what Rachel saw in him, this future potential, and he disowned them. And they lived as paupers for 24 years until Rabbi Akiva came back, and when he saw how great his son-in-law had become, so then he asked Rabbi Akiva, I made a netter, you'll never have a penny for me. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, if you would have known how I turned out, would you have made the netter? No. So then I'm able to revoke your netter. And then Rabbi Akiva, he supported his son-in-law. But for 24 years, it was very rough sailing. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the reason Rabbi Akiva said this very strong statement, if I would get my hands on a Talmud Chacham, I'd bite him off like a chamor, like a donkey. The reason was because he thought, and this is going to be, we're going to have to explain this a little. I hope we'll come to a good answer. But he thought that the Talmidei Chachamim hate the Amaratzim, the ignoramuses. And his sensitive soul couldn't take the injustice that he saw that the rabbis were perpetuating on the unlearned. For example, there's a halacha that the clothing of an Amoretz, the rabbis made that it has a halacha of tumah for the prushim. In other words, that you're not allowed to sit on a beged of Amoretz and you would become tumah. Without us going into the intricate halachas of tumah and tahara, of cleanliness and uncleanliness, the rabbis wanted to make like a separation between the Talmidei Chachamim and the Amoratzim, the unlearned. So Rabbi Akiva, his sensitive soul, couldn't take this injustice. And he said, "Mi yiten li Talmidei Chachamim ve Nishchanei Chamor." So we see so far that he had a very sensitive soul. And it bothered him, the injustice that he perceived. He thought, which is not true, he thought that the rabbis had like a hatred for the unlearned. Now let's go one step further. Another story. There's an unbelievable story. And the She'iltos tells us that this story took place with none other than Rabbi Akiva. What's the story? It says like this. It's speaking about the midah of dan lekafschus, that if somebody does something bad to you, so you have to, you think that the person is trying to hurt you. You have to be dan lekafschus. You have to think, even though it sounds far-fetched, it sounds crazy, you have to think maybe that's what happened. And the Gemara says this story about Maisa ba'adam echad. There's a story with a certain man who, the Shiltois, tells us that man is Rabbi Akiva. She'yorad mi-golul el-yon. He came down from the section of Eretz Yisrael called Golul el-yon. V'niskar etzel balabayis echad bedorim. And he hired himself out to be a worker for a certain wealthy man in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Shalosh shanim, 3 years. In other words, when his father-in-law disowned him, before he went to learn, he for 3 years he worked. He had to support his wife. Erev Yom Kippur, at the end of the 3 years, on Erev Yom Kippur, Omar Loi, he said to his master, "Ten li schari, give me the wages that you owe me. Ve'eilech ve'ezernes ishti ubni, and I'll let me go and support, my wife and children have been living in poverty for 3 years. I've been working, now give me my salary so I can bring food home. I can bring money home that they can live." Omar Loi Ein Li Mois, this rich, wealthy Balba says, "I'm sorry, I have no money to pay you." Omar Loi Tein Li Peiros, "Okay, you have many fields with fruit. Give me instead fruit, I'll take the fruit home." Omar Loi Ein Li, "I don't have any fruit." Tein Li Karka, "Give me, I know you have vast holdings, vast properties. Give me some property, I'll sell it, and I'll have that for wages." Ein Li, "I don't have." Tein Li Behema, "Give me some animals." Ainly, "I don't have." Tainly karmuk sasois, "Give me some pillows and blankets." Ainly, "I don't have." Whatever he asked him for, he said, "I don't have." And this is mind-boggling. Rabbi Akiva knew that this man is a rich man, and he has all of these things. Hivshil kalev lachar v'holach lebeisei bepachi nefesh. He took his clothing, he put it over his shoulder, and he went home And he comes to his wife, and he has to tell her the sad news. After 3 years of working, he doesn't have a penny to bring back. La'achar aregel, after yontiv, natal balabayis schara biyaday. The owner took his wages in his hands. Ve'imoy, and with it, with him was Masa Gimel Chamoirim, three donkeys had on their back. Echad shal Michael, one had food. Echad shal Mishter, one had drink. Ve'echad shal Mina Megodim, and one had different delicacies to eat. Ve'holach loy lebeisa, and he went to the house of Rabbi Akiva. Acher she'ochlu v'shasu, after they ate and drank, nasan loy schorei, he gave him his wages. Omar loy, so the Baal Abbas said to Rabbi Akiva, B'shoa she'amartu li ten li schorei, v'amarti ein li mois, b'amecha chashadetani. When I told you that I don't have money to pay you, what did you think at that time? Amarti, Rabbi Akiva said, Shema parkamachya bezul nizdam nalach lakachtaman. Maybe you had a very good business opportunity and you can make a lot of money, and you had used all your money, the liquid money that you had available, you used it to buy this good merchandise. What about when I told you I didn't have any animals to pay you? What did you think then? I thought all the animals you had, maybe you had rented them out and other people were using them. What about the ground, the karka, that I said I don't have any fields and you knew I had fields? Rabbi Akiva said, "Amarti shema mukhrachas biyadacher." Maybe you had rented out the fields to other people who were harvesting, and they would pay you for the fields. Ubishah shamarti loch ainli peiris b'mechashadatay. What about fruit? Amarti shema ainam musaris. I thought maybe you didn't give meiser on them yet, so you couldn't give it to me. And what about when I told you I don't have korim uksasais? I don't have any pillows. What did you think then? Amarti shema higdish kol nechasav. I thought maybe you donated all your assets. You donated to your pillows and all that. You donated to the Beis Hamikdash. Amar lei balabayis. The balabayis said to Rabbi Akiva, ha avoida. I swear kachoya. Exactly what you said. That's exactly what happened. Va'ata, and you kishem shedonatani lekav schus. Just like you thought in my merit, you didn't get upset at me. You didn't think I'm a cheater and a gunniv. A regular person would have said, you thief, you gunniv. Here I worked 3 years hard for you, and that's how you pay me back. And I'm going to go back to my wife and children now without a penny. He would have cursed them out. That's what a regular person. Rabbi Akiva was done lekaf schus, and he was right. That's exactly what happened. So says Rav Brody, we see from here how he approached dealings with other people, and to an unbelievable measure, he was done lekaf schus, which regular people would never have done such a thing. So says Rav Simcha Zissel Brody that his Talmidim, who had such a Rebbe in front of them, and who was so careful with his interpersonal relationships, and they didn't learn from their Rebbe. So there was a bigger tefiah from Hashem on them. Hashem demanded more from them. You had such a person in front of you as a role model, and you didn't learn from him. That makes it a bigger tefiah. That makes the criticism much greater, and that's why this great punishment took place. Now, with this whole explanation, I still was bothered. Number one, if he's such a great Dan Lekav Schus, so why wasn't he Dan Lekav Schus the rabbis? And he said, I'm going to, and he certainly didn't sound very fine by saying, I'm going to break his neck like a donkey does. So perhaps this is the only answer I thought of. We see he had tremendous, what's called adinus hanefesh, tremendous sensitivity, how he was sensitive about the unlearned. He thought the rabbis were attacking them. He was sensitive about this other person that he didn't call him a gunif. But yet, perhaps this is the answer, my own answer, perhaps, yet it was without Torah. When he learned Torah, the Rabbi Akiva developed his
sensitivity even greater. Of course, once he learned Torah and he understood what the rabbis were doing, he would never have said such a thing. In other words, with, as sensitive of a spirit and a heart that a person can have, but he must have Torah also. You can't divorce it from Torah. So before he learned Torah, we saw his potential in his heart was great, was unbelievable. But it was without Torah. Torah refines a person even greater. Even more than Rabbi Akiva had on his own, it was refined through Torah. What Rabbi Simcha Zissel Brody is showing us, though, is in, we could see the, his vast potential of how sensitive he was to other people. When he started learning Torah and he became the great Rabbi Akiva, he developed this sensitivity through Torah. He even came, of course, to a much higher level. And finally, I had the opportunity, the schus, to substitute for Rabbi Elephant on Lag BaOmer. And the Lag BaOmer's daf, which was yesterday's daf, daf kuf yotes imsachim, and I found a remarkable thing. I said it over to the, I had a chance to be with the Novominska Rebbe Shlita, and he agreed that it's a very possible good thought. And later I found it in Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, and I think I was mechaven to what he says here as well. It's very interesting, the Gemara of Lag BaOmer. We know many times the daf, I think I've mentioned it before in the Shiurim, that the daf Yomi fits in with what's happening that day. So on the daf of Lag BaOmer, the Gemara tells us that Rome amassed a tremendous treasure. The Gemara says that there's 365 marketplaces in the great city of Rome. And each marketplace has 365 towers. And each tower has 365 steps. And on each one of those steps, there's enough food to take care of the whole world. What this number 365, there's probably a deeper meaning. But in other words, Rome, and the Gemara goes on to say that Yosef collected the richness of all the world when they came down to get the food in Mitzrayim. And the Gemara goes through a whole series of what happened to that wealth. The Jews took it with them when they left Mitzrayim, and then it was taken over by other people and other people and other, until finally it wound up in the hands of Rome. And the Gemara says here that it's in Rome until this very day. Probably in the Vatican, someplace, they have the treasures, gold and silver from the whole world. But the Gemara says, what's going to happen with all that, eventually, what's going to happen with all that money and all the food that that money can buy? So the Gemara says it's going to go, based on a pasuk, it's going to go to those who sit in front of Hashem. Who are the ones who sit in front of Hashem? And now begins Daf Kuf Yotes, which is Lag BaOmer's Daf. Zeh HaMakir Mekom Chaveroi BeYeshiva. If you recognize the place of your friend in the yeshiva. So one of the commentaries here, Rashi, the Rashbam, interpret, what does that mean? That you are a person who learns all day, so you know where everybody's sitting. If you come in for a half hour in a base medrash, you're not going to know where everybody's sitting. But if you're there from the morning till night, so if somebody comes in, where's Reuven, where's Shimon, where do they sit? You're there so much that you'll know where everybody sits. So in other words, you're a masmid. You learn Torah with great diligence. Ikidi Amri, some say, you know who's going to get all that money eventually, all the food? Amr Rav Lazar, Zeh HaMekabel Pnei Chaveri BeYeshiva. That's someone who, he is the one who's Mekabel Pnei Chaveri, meaning he receives his friend. So the simple pshat in that is that you're there at the crack of dawn. You're there the earliest in the Beis Medrash. You open up the door of the Beis Medrash. So anybody else who comes into the Beis Medrash, you're the one who you are greeting them, because you're there first. So again, according to this pshat, it means, it shows you're a musmit. You're a great, you're very diligent. You're up in the crack of dawn till at night, and you're the one who's called a Yoshev Lufnei Hashem. I was thinking that perhaps, based on everything we've been speaking about here, that makir makom chaveroi b'yeshiva, you recognize where your friend is in yeshiva, and you greet your friend, is not necessarily only, maybe it's also that, of course, not only you're a masmid, you're a great learner in Torah, you're diligent, but it means you're respectful. And you recognize the position of your friend. And I found later many pshatim that go in this approach. For example, one pshat says, let's say your friend has a more important seat in the Beis Medrash than yourself. You don't sit in the seat. And there is some, he might be late, and he didn't come yet. So you say, oh, I have this good seat, I'll take it. No, that's your friend's seat. You're mekabel pnei chaveri b'yeshiva. You recognize your friend in the yeshiva. If he says a thought and you said a thought, you're not going to say your thought first. You recognize his thought. So there's various pshatim. I'll give you one. The hour is late, so I'll give you one thought. The Gemara says, it's interesting, this pshat has to do with the name of the sefer of Simchas Zebrodi, which is Sum Derech. What is this going on? The pasuk says, Sum Derech Erena B'yesha Hashem. Some derech, I will place away. The Meforshim explain it means shum derech. What does it mean, shum derech? Shum derech means I will evaluate. Shuma means to evaluate. What is this referring to? So the Gemara says that there was a certain Hahu Rabbi Yanai Havale Ahu Talmida. Rabbi Yanai had a student. The Chol Yoyma have a makshale. Every day when he gave a shir, this Talmud would ask questions. Bishabata de Rigla loy have a makshale. But when it came to Shabbos of Yontiv, where all the Kehillah, the whole Kehillah, all the whole community would come to the Beis Medrash to hear a shir from Rav Yanai, loy have a makshale. He didn't ask any questions. Kari Ale, so Rabbi Yanai said about that student, Vishom Derech Arena B'Yesha Hashem, Elikim, which means Vishom Derech. In other words, because you were thinking, you were sensitive. If I ask a question and my Rebbe doesn't know the answer, he's going to get embarrassed. Every day when he has his regular set of students, so if he doesn't have the answer today, he'll come back tomorrow with the answer. It's not such an embarrassment. But if the whole community is there and I ask a question, I stump him, and he doesn't have the answer, I'm going to embarrass him in front of the whole community. He never asked a question in public when the whole community was there. So he was shummed. Shum derech means shuma. He estimated, is this a good time and place to do it? So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Hamakir mekom chaveiro. You know when you're called a Yoshev Lefnei Hashem, you're sitting in front of Hashem. When you recognize, is this the right time and place to do it? Am I embarrassing my friend? I have to be sensitive. So the point is that all these pshatim that are said on these two lines of Gemara, these are the first two lines of this stuff. This is a remez, I believe, to Lag BaOmer. Because what was the aveira of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? Shaloi noagu kavod zelazeh. They didn't give the correct respect one to another. So they're not called Yoshev Lefnei Hashem. They could be the greatest scholars. If it's just an encyclopedic knowledge, but the Torah didn't have an effect on the person to have the proper midos, how you deal with your friend. Rabbi Simcha Zisel Brody brings down that it says by the Kruvim, the two angelic creatures that were on top of the Aron HaKodesh in the Mishkan, it says, Upneyem ish alochiv. The face of each one faced the other. So the Baal HaTurim says, Kimoy shnei chaverim, like two friends, shenoisin v'noisnim b'divrei Torah. They're having a discussion with each other in Torah. In other words, the Baal HaTurim is saying, explains Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, that the way to engage in Torah is not to make it a personal fight between two people, but rather two chaverim, two friends. They want to learn the truth. They want to know what the right explanation in the Torah is. But they do it in a manner of friendliness, of love between one another. That's the only way that you can perpetuate Torah. So, and then he brings down Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, the pshat in this Gemara, which I just mentioned, makir mekom chaveiro b'yeshiva. You recognize your friend. You don't make him feel lower than you. Oh, my friend is here. You are mekabel upon him. You greet him in a friendly, nice, respectful way. So it's very appropriate that on the very day of Lag BaOmer, where in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, where we stop for one day being misabel on the tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. And what was the tragedy caused by? Shaloi Noagu Kavod Zelzeh. So the Daf Yomi of this year was Daf Kuf Yotes, beginning with the very lines that tell us that what's a Yoshev Lefnei Hashem? Who is sitting in front of Hashem? That's someone who does give the right respect to one another. And as Reb Simcha Zisla Brody concludes, that what we have to take out of this is, we shouldn't be Eis Lasis Lashem Heferu Sarasecha. When we have an opportunity to do a mitzvah for Hashem, we shouldn't make it less than the maximum. We shouldn't have a minig not to buy flowers during the Sfira, but then turn around and embarrass somebody. Then you've taken the tuffle, you've taken the secondary thing, and you forgot the ikker. The ikker, why we don't shave and take a haircut. What is the value of not taking a shave or a haircut and going ahead and embarrassing somebody else and not being sensitive to something? You missed the whole point. This is supposed to remind you why you're in avelus. So hopefully, if we can remember this lesson, we will not transgress on that which the Meiri tells us is Eis Las Hashem Haferu Sarasecha, but the opposite. We will have Eis Las Hashem and we will be Mekayim Torasecha. We will fulfill what the whole message of Sfira is supposed to be, and that is to be sensitive to one another and to be very careful in interpersonal relationships Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Personal relationships between Adam and Chaveiro.